spacious sky, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains' majesty, above the fruited plains.
God shed his Thank you. saved is by your grace and love you've forgiven me. And by that love and grace I'm amazed. Is by your grace and love I am free.
God's been putting a lot on my heart lately, and I just feel like I need to talk about the youth. And a lot of you guys know me that I used to work with the youth, and it's a passion of mine. This isn't quite set in stone yet, but there's an upcoming event that we're trying to work on. Hopefully we can get it to take place. It's a revival time for the teens where they can come and worship Jesus and play games and have fun under God and not have to worry about getting hurt or anything happening to them. I'm going to read from Romans 6. Romans 6:1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. When I was trying to do this message and I was praying to God to give me the words, I was reading a devotion and it had a story in it which I thought was neat. And it's called The Fight Within. And there's a book entitled Fuzzy Memories by Jack Handy. And he tells a story about this bully who would demand his lunch money every day. Since he was smaller, he would give it to him. But then he decided to fight back. He started taking karate lessons. But then the karate lessons guy said he had to start paying him $5 a lesson. So Jack just went back to paying the bully. That brings back some memories. We figure it's easier to pay the bully than to learn how to defeat him. Sadly, in the same way, we often continue to live in sin, rather than to wage war to destroy it. We allow sin to reign rather than dethroning it. We subject ourselves to defeat rather than learning the countermeasures that lead to victory. Before we beat ourselves up too much, we can find comfort in the Apostle Paul's confession that he talks about here in the book of Romans. Paul also struggled with sin. He recognized that he couldn't escape being a sinner. Yet because sin ultimately leads to death, if he didn't deal with it, his sin would have destroyed him. He had a fight on his hands, one he waged daily. So how can we win the fight and defeat the power of sin? Honestly, we can't. We possess neither the strength nor the moral completeness to win such a monumental battle. For victory, we must, like Paul, rely solely on Jesus Christ. His sacrifice on the cross, bearing the sins of all human beings, provides our only hope for dethroning the power of sin. Sin is too serious to face alone. Victory over sin requires calling on Jesus, the victor, all day and every day. We as adults, parents, and grandparents are dealing with the hardest sin of all right now, and that is, and I'm only preaching on this to let you know because I struggle with this with my own kids. We are not helping to fill the Great Commission with our youth of this town, or even with our own kids. Instead, we are allowing the mainstream media, toys, and gadgets to do it for us. And do you think that these things are helping in winning the teens over to Jesus? No. But I just want to reiterate, they can. You can use all these gadgets, you guys, for Jesus. There is a way to do that. It's just how we train our teens and how we teach them to do it. Here are a few reasons why we allow it. We allow them to get consumed by media, technology, and video games because all these things are so cool and make life a lot easier. But the absolute best thing about them is they can make great babysitters, and it allows us to work more hours, get more things done around the house, and ignore our kids and ignore our families. But that's okay because your TV is watching them right now and the Xbox 360 is still serving them drinks. The problem this creates is it makes our kids more vulnerable and it makes them numb to death from playing violent video games and watching violent movies and TV shows. The adequate love they need from a loving mom or dad gets tossed aside and they rely on a famous actor or actress to give them their moral values. Then when you really do try to communicate and show them the love they need, they begin to develop selective hearing and shrug you off because they don't need you. The Simpsons solved all their problems for them on TV last night. That's true. A lot of the kids today and teens today, they learn from watching TV shows. TV shows and this government is even driving us. And if we're blind to it, it's going to consume us and we're going to act the way that the government and the TV and the media wants us to act. So how do we fix this? We start by limiting the time they have with the things of this outside world, and we start asking how their day at school was, and helping them with their homework, showing up at their baseball games, and encouraging them, and showing them the love and compassion that God shows us. This world is falling apart because there's moms and dads that are not together anymore. And this pops in, when I was doing this, it popped a thing in my head of the Hook movie with Peter Pan and Robin Williams. You guys seen that one? What happened in a certain part of that is where he got too busy for work. And what happened, the son's mom was there at his baseball game, but he really wanted his dad there too. And so he got so consumed by work, he missed it. And by the time he got there, he thought he made it. He looks over the hill, and everybody was cleared out of the field. There was nobody there. And the son rebelled because of it. We also need to teach them God's Word right from the Bible and show them the importance of prayer. As God got Callie and I involved in youth ministry a while back, God began to show us these key things that were taking place in our youth. God then showed us that we need to start reaching out. So we came up with the plan for Teen August Fest. Teen August Fest will allow teens for one day to get together and to unite under Jesus Christ and to have fun listening to His Word, worshiping, and most importantly, finding the Lord Himself and becoming saved and forgiven. It will be a time of revival for the youth of this town. God allowed the opportunity for Teen August Fest to take place 2 years ago, and we had 17 people that were both teens and adults either rededicate their life to Christ or they committed their life to Christ for the first time. If all the churches can get together every fifth Sunday to worship Jesus, then there shouldn't be no reason why kids and teens from all over Alturas can't come together for just one day out of the year to learn about a man that will change their life forever. I've been faced with that a lot. You know, the importance of youth. We still have youth that communicate to us, and it just breaks my heart when they say they're going to college right now and they're struggling. I said, well, have you checked out the youth programs in that town? Have you gone to the churches locally? Have you checked to see what was available? No, I don't want to go because I like partying more than I do want to get to know Jesus. And it breaks my heart. This is the reason why that we're shooting for this is to have the one day that teens come together and just, you know, learn about the only man that's going to ever save their life, not media, not the government, not the president. Teen August Fest will take more than just my wife and I to keep it alive. It will take each and every one of you as well. And between now and then, I want to encourage you to stand up and to take a stand for the youth of this town and do what we are called to do by God and fulfill the Great Commission and help a new generation of leaders to rise up and walk with Jesus Christ. I want to tell a quick story. This is a great... When we did a youth convention a couple years ago, there was this deaf girl that was there. And she was signing the whole time. Trying to think. The leader there that was speaking, God compelled him to pray over her. Well, at the end, on the very, very last day, she stood up. And he did this. And she turned her head. But it took a while. And then he did this. And she turned her head. And tears started coming down my face. Because God healed her. And she began to speak right there in front of everybody. In front of 400 college age and teen kids. Talk about a miracle. This is the kind of thing that I pray for and I hope for. This kind of stuff takes place if we can do this. Is that we can mend the hearts of the youth and create a new generation of leaders. Because if we don't do it now, then Satan's going to take over and God's going to be flushed down the toilet. And there's not going to be any hope left for the next generation.